Welcome to the Black Widow Deer Lures podcast. I'm here with Andy Bogolski, the owner of Black Widow Deer Lures, and myself, John McPherson. And today we're going to be answering some questions and comments that we've seen on social media. And today's all about branch butter.
And the V.
And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the scents associated with branch butter, the consistency of branch butter. Because, again, we can understand this is a fairly new product that nobody's really familiar with. Yeah, nobody's really familiar with it. So, you know, when somebody says that they've been, you know, hunting for 25-plus years and they can't really kind of understand what branch butter is, so they're not sure about the smell and things like that. So first off, let's start with the smell.
The smell is very pungent, yeah. Very strong.
Potent.
It stinks. But if you go on, if you Google it, it works.
Oh,
I mean, amazing. All you see is pictures amazing. And dozens and probably hundreds of pictures. Yeah. It works. We brought it to market 3 years ago. I was playing with it for 3 years before that. But you always get a handful of people.
Yeah, they're just not familiar.
They're not familiar, and they're like, it don't smell right.
Yeah. Is it rotten or is it a bad batch or something like that? And the thing is, it is not a urine. So yes, you know, we spend, you know, quite a bit of time educating people on, you know, when you smell rancid urine or it's brown and it's broken down and it's got a foul odor that yes, it is now no longer as effective as fresh. But that is completely different than a glandular secretion like branch butter.
Along with secret scents that I put in for interest.
Yep. So there's a couple ingredients that Andy has put in his secret recipe there. But yeah, it is a strong odor, and it is going to smell pretty stout. So when you open it, and if you ever seen, you could actually see some YouTube videos that I've done, and you know, I'm trying to hold a camera and open my branch butter, and sometimes I take my teeth and I pull that little foil off, and as soon as I pull it off, you get a shot right in the nose and you can smell it. And it is, you know, if it's that close to your nose, sometimes it'll take your breath. It is a strong smell, but it's a smell that deer are familiar with. And I don't know how many of you guys actually sit there and smell a deer's preorbital right by their tear duct, or you're smelling their forehead, and it's not a sweet smell. It's definitely not something that you're going to be familiar with.
But it just strikes me as funny.
Yeah.
I hate to get at it, but it's like, we've been developing for years.
Right.
It's extremely, extremely successful to the point absolutely. Where people are starting to try to copy it now, but they're not going to copy it.
Yeah.
You know, they're
it's
just
going absolutely
they're
viral.
Trying to come out with some type of gel to put on the licking branch.
So
and we even have people calling John, because he does our social media, where do you get your packaging from? Where do you get your tubes from? What's in it? Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I'm going to tell you exactly. Here's the recipe. It's like,
this is very unique. This is a unique product. Nobody else has got anything like this. Andy's developed this, years developing this product. And the thing is that when we released it, and people were just amazed by the response. Like for example, this year we're working with Jay Gregory, and Jay Gregory went out and put some of this.
Wild Outdoors.
Yeah, Wild Outdoors. Uh-huh. And so some of you guys are familiar with him when he was doing, what was he working with, Drury? Or who was it years ago? Anyway, so Jay Gregory goes out and he uses branch butter with the scrape rope and is just blown away. And you're talking about someone who is very, very much a part of the outdoor industry, has seen products, you know, from your wildest imagination come to market.
30 years he's been in.
Yeah, and he was absolutely blown away with the response that he got from his bucks using branch butter. And that just goes to show that the people that are in the industry that have used products, used scents for years and years and years, have absolutely been blown away by the success and the activity that they're getting from branch butter. And so you may not think that it should smell the way it does, but again, you know, with a new product that has come out and it's got the ingredients that it does and the glandular secretions it does, this is not something you are going to be familiar with.
No. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, and we always got that one or two people that call or email and say, it's rotten. It's rotten. You need to give me, it's yeah. the way it's supposed oh, it's, to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's kind of, I mean, I just had an interesting conversation with a customer that was like, it's rotten. And I said, it's not rotten. You know, you're trying to, you know, interact with customers as professional as possible. And he said, it's not rotten. It's just the way it smells. And they're like, well, and then they did a post, said something like, I've been in the game a long time and I know when scents are rotten. Well, you cannot be familiar with the branch butter because it's a fairly new product.
Never been done.
Yeah, it's never been done. And the thing is, if I were to send you another tube, and I said it in when we were, you know, the dialogue back and forth, I could send you another tube. It's going to smell the same way. I can send you two more tubes. They're going to smell the same. And so that's kind of been the interesting kind of dialogue back and forth with some people that are trying to associate branch butter with urines. Now, urines, you know, of course, they have a sweeter smell. They're not pungent. They're not rancid. If they are, then they have already started a breakdown process. Either the sun's got to it, they've been frozen, something has happened to where the cells are now dead in the urine. Glandular secretions are a completely different animal. So you cannot compare any sort of urines to branch butter. Yeah, just two different animals completely. So, for those of you who have used branch butter and you've opened it up and you're like, holy smokes, I think I've got a bad tube. Now, you know, it is supposed to be that strong. It's supposed to be a very potent smelling, and a little goes a long way. I mean, we use a lot. I mean, we've used a lot on our butt, you know, again, you know, we've got access to it. So but a tube, you can use a tube on several mock scrapes, you know, and it does have a strong smell. So therefore, you know, a little goes a long way, but, yeah.
And it's all made by hand.
Yes.
John was just watching me now mix it and stuff, you know, and getting another batch together. It's all done by hand to the point where you get some people, and you can't, it's hard to please people. Yeah. Some people go, it's too thin. Then you got the other people, it's too thick. It's the same stuff. It's the same. But some people want it to be like toothpaste, like putting thicker it on paste. Your brush, you know. And some people want it like honey dripping. Yeah. It's like, it is what it is.
And I can tell you by, so the funny part is I can tell you by the seasons, the kind of questions I will get on social media in the summertime, because it does react to temperature, right? So if you got it in your pocket, it's hot outside, it is runnier, right? So a lot of people will say, you know, hey, it's too loose. It's like a liquid. It's pouring everywhere. Well, it's probably been in your back pocket or it's probably got warm, you know, so, and that's just temperature.
Sitting in your truck and you're packing 85 degree heat.
Yeah. So it's got looser, right? So there's a line right there. Right now that it started to turn cold, I will start getting messages.
It's too thick.
it's coming out as a paste out of my tube. Is this the way it's supposed to be? And then at that point, it changes gears. Now it's not too warm. It's actually too cold.
Because it's in your pack. You're going hunting the next morning. It's in your pack or it's in your garage. And guess what? It's 40 degrees in your garage.
It got cold. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
It thickens up and it does react to temperature. Does the glandular secretions or, you know, any of the ingredients in it any different? No. It's just the temperature affects it differently. And so in the summertime and early bow season, we get the messages supposed to be too runny. And when it gets colder, is it too thick? So if you have any of those questions, if you've ever used it, now you know. So, but, and I, if you guys ever have any questions about any of the products like Branch Butter, you can always message us, email us, call, you know, whatever you like to do. And we can help you out. And don't take these, you know, us talking about the product as, you know, trying to ridicule any customers or anything like that. Basically, it's just kind of funny how some of the people associate the urines with the Branch Butter, and, you know, it gets repetitive, you know, after you a while. So it becomes almost humorous. Like, there we go. Yes, it's supposed to stink. Yes, it's supposed to be a little runny now.
It'd be like scoops of ice cream out of the same thing and give it to people. People think, oh, that's good. Then other people would be going, too sweet.
Too sweet. Yeah. And everybody, you know, everybody's got a different opinion about it. So again, if you have a question, you can always, like I said, you can message us on social media, DM us, or you can email us or call at any time. And we'll be glad to, you know, coach you through how to use the products or how the products are supposed to be. You know, if you have any questions on how to use it or anything like that. But, you know, so again, if you got anything about Branch Butter, what's next? What were we talking about?
We're going to talk about V.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about V. V is a powerhouse lure that Andy has just released. An absolute powerhouse. Let's talk about it.
V is the urine as they're artificially inseminating the does. It's the last pee they take while they're getting prepping to artificially inseminate the does. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they've got basically large Q-tips on a stick, you know, Q-tips as big as your thumb. And they wipe the outside and inside and get any of the gland, you know, vaginal secretions, yep, secretions out, so it doesn't interfere out with them artificially inseminating, because it costs a bunch of money to artificially inseminate, and they don't want anything disrupted. Yep.
Absolutely.
So they clean it all out, all that vaginal secretions that put in that last batch of urine that they pee, so they're basically ready to breed right then and there, because otherwise they wouldn't be artificially inseminating. They've got the vet there. That urine is put into, you know, what the batch that we call the V, you know, vaginal stands for vaginal secretion. It's probably the most potent lure out there. It's very limited, very, very limited. We don't put it in stores. We don't have enough of it to put it into stores, because we have hundreds of stores, and, you know, we want to have it for our customers. If you want to order it, it's on our website.
This is absolute peak. So, you know, everybody's always asking about, you know, the difference between hot and ready and triple X and matriarch. And as it essentially goes up, and you can kind of say, you know, the strength of the urine, you've got hot and ready, which is kind of when your estrus is ramping up. Your triple X is, you know, within 4 days of peak. And then you've got your matriarch, which is standing estrus, but for a mature doe. Then at the very
dripping from the vaginal.
Yep. This is a breeding estrus. This is the absolute peak. You know, this is scientifically, you know, they had figured out when she is, you know, ready to breed. Because what did you say? There's like a window. There's only like a 30-minute window to really artificially inseminate at that time for their success rates. I mean, it's very fairly close.
Oh, you could go longer, but
yeah, to be very perfect, exactly. Yeah, to make sure that all, you know, everything is in line, everything is in place, to make sure that they're the most successful with the artificial insemination process. You know,
that's why you see a doe and the buck tending the doe for hours, days on end. And then when it's time, it's ready, she stands, she turns the tail, and he's on it.
Yep.
She's ready to go. Yep. It's time. It's go time.
Yep.
And that's exactly what this is.
That's what V is. So V is going to change the way you hunt the rut. It's really, truly something different that watching the interaction with this lure has been amazing. I'm just so thankful that I was able to be a part of the actual testing process and watching the deer interact to this stuff. Cause
should we tell them how we tested?
It's truly, truly amazing.
But we tested a lot of different ways, but then we wanted to test it and we really wanted to see without any human scent.
Zero human scent.
So like I say, where we did this or whatever, but we had a bunch and we saturated a rag and we took about what, 15, 20 foot cord.
Yeah.
And he's got a really, really good drone. And we put it on the back of my pickup truck on the cap there and we hooked it up and we sat where we're at the back wood line of this. It was bean field. It's 400 yards away. So he takes off and he's watching it. He goes all the way to the one corner. It's 400 yards wide also. He drops down about 15, 20 feet from the wood line and he starts dragging it. And every once in a while, the thing would, you know, catch a piece of the cut bean. And then he pulled it all the way down about 400 yards. And he dragged it and made a circle. And then the battery was running dead. So he lifted it and came back.
Yeah, so sure did.
We hunted that field, but not up there. We wanted to see what would happen, so we hunted a stand
at the very bottom, so we can watch it.
400 yards, so we can watch it. And the bucks would come out. They would hit it. They'd go left, right, this way. And they were perplexed. They track it, and then it would go out into the field and make a circle, and then they would stand there like, "Where the hell?"
Yeah. And they're so visual. When they hit that line, they would shoot up at times and look around and find any does that were in the field and run to those does. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? They're trying to figure out where this scent came from. And we were sitting there talking about it, man, to have a decoy
at that time.
Absolutely nuts. And I'd hate to say it, but you know, we use it on a couple of different areas on the property and
About the time I did drag rag and we were up on the top of Ben's Knob?
Yeah, we had a buck actually follow
the thing and then lay down 25, 30 yards away.
Yeah.
Not one I wanted to shoot. Yeah. And we have two or three buck laid down within about 30 yards all around us.
They bedded down.
Half a dozen does. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he like walked up and he's like, "We'll continue this search later. Right now I'm going to lay down right here." But I do have to say I feel sorry for every single doe on the property because essentially we had kicked off probably the chase phase again. And
it was post-rut.
Yeah, it was post-rut. And they went nuts. I'm telling you, every scrape was hit all the rub trees were hit again. All the bucks were ramped up. They're running all over. And it was funny because it was like all the does were probably sitting there like, "I thought this was over. Like,
leave me alone."
Yeah, like, "Why are you guys all revved up again?" And so it was amazing to see the interaction. And then we brought it back to the Carolinas and used it. And the response that we got from the bucks here in the Carolinas, because our rut was just a little later than up north. So we were able to use it here in the Carolinas during the actual rut, and it was nuts the interaction we were getting. I mean, young bucks, mature bucks, I mean, they were all going crazy and coming around us, and it was truly a unique sight to see, something that you know, I'll remember for a long time. But hopefully you guys, if you guys give V a try, you'll be able to see it yourself. When you see these bucks smell that and they can smell the secretions in it, they immediately know what that means. You know, that means it's go time. She is breeding. I have to find that doe now for my opportunity. Mm-hmm. So they are going absolutely crazy. So, you know, again, it's a limited supply. So what we have when it's gone,
it's gone. And it's, you can only get it on our website.
Yeah.
We don't have it in the stores.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention another thing. When I flip the bottle around, all our lures, whatever it is, XXX, you know, hot and ready, whatever, is all RT quick tested to guard against any CWD. Yep. It's a DPP certified. So this is legal in Louisiana. It's legal in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Michigan, and a few others out there that have restrictions on using natural deer urines, where DPP certified lures, RT quick testing is needed. So yep. we're in the forefront of that. I mean, so
you guys can use it with confidence that you are not
spreading CWD
at all. And that's been, you know, good thing for a lot of people to understand, because we've had a lot of, CWD pop up in different areas. And a lot of times people are, questioning baiting habits, lures, different things like that. And there, and really, you can go down the rabbit hole on the whole CWD deal, but
just briefly on a CWD.
But people,
I'm just going to go briefly. The problem is, everybody thinks it's passed. Yeah, it can be, by deer to deer and stuff. A lot of it is, it's a prion.
Yeah.
The prion gets discharged from a deer. It goes into the ground, be it in feces or whatever, saliva, whatever. Now that prion, if clover grows in it, if whatever grows in it picks up that prion, now a deer comes along and eats that prion, eats that clover, guess what? He's going to get CW, the possibility.
CWD, yeah.
And then think about this. Any grain, corn, wheat, oats, milo, etc., sunflowers, grown in that ground, especially where they're grown out there in Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, etc., all those areas, the great big milo, and they're CWD active. So now, if the grains are grown there and geese come in and land and eat, they pick up that grain, they fly 400 miles while they're flying, they can poop, land and poop, they just spread CWD. And it's
a vicious circle.
And the same thing.
Yeah.
Bird seed.
Well, you know what?
All this.
We'll do this for the next podcast. We're sitting here thinking about the different topics we're going to talk about. Why don't you guys got a little taste of the CWD and how I can go on fire and the information that we have about CWD and our lures and essentially the disease and everything. So, why don't you guys tune in next week? And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about CWD, our deer lures, how you can help or you can't help. We're just going to discuss a lot of topics that have to do with the actual disease and what the different states are doing. So we'll just stop it at that right now. That way we'll bring it up. I got Andy keyed up. And so what we'll do is we will next week tune in, guys. We're going to talk about CWD, and this is especially important for all of you North Carolina guys. Just had a couple cases in North Carolina. North Carolina has started their process. Pennsylvania has been starting, to really ramp things up, and a couple others. So you need to be educated on CWD, the products that you can and can't use, and are you helping or hurting by using certain products? So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next week on this hot topic.
Oh, it's hot. All right. Take care now.